Some days I feel so close. Some days it seems so far. Surely the innocent mercy shall always follow and never return void.
Hey guys.
It's time for your friendly neighborhood snippet.
Yep. This is Simone.
And this is Sarita.
And this is just a shorter installment of Clean Air's podcast where we wanted to talk about something that seems to be not rampant, but common or a bit common in the Christian community. As believers, we are taught and we do believe that we're to wait until we're married to have sex and to live together. And we know that the struggle is absolutely real and that it's really easy to fall into disobedience in these ways.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have a situation where you have a friend who's in your community who comes to you and says, "Hey, girl, I'm pregnant. Or I just finished signing this lease with Bay.
Right.
And we're about to be shacking in this thing."
Or, "Hey, girl, I'm a lesbian. Bisexual, whatever.
Okay.
You didn't change up. What you like?"
Hashtag not same team. I'm sorry, guys. I have no chill. And so we just wanted to talk about how to deal with that when you're receiving that information. Because I think it's tough. You know, naturally, our jaws drop because it's like, wow, we were walking in this together. And it's easy to feel abandoned, and it's easy to feel a lot of different other emotions, actually. And as people who've been involved in those conversations, we wanted to just share a little bit of advice on how to deal with that based on our own experience, and at least also start a dialogue on that because we think it's much needed. I think that the first thing is to love on them and not Bible beat them.
Yes. A lot of times you want to go first off to, well, you know, Jesus says, and the truth of the matter is if this is somebody that you know through, you know, a church setting or whatever, they do already know what Jesus says. It's not new information to them. So you may want to take the time to actually hear them out, love on them, figure out how they're doing as a person outside of that situation.
Yes, and then also remember that even though we may look at some sins as the end-all and be-all, we have to remember that every sin is equal in the eyes of God and that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's not our position to condemn them. It is, like Sarita said, to just listen and see where their heart is. Are they repentant? How are they feeling about what's going on in the decision that they made? And once we understand where their headspace is, then we can meet them there and understand how to pray for them and pray with them and counsel them in that situation.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing to remember is that you do not have to agree or support their decision, but you do have to learn how to be with that person, how to still have a relationship with that person. So you may have to reevaluate that relationship based on how that decision continues to manifest itself.
Absolutely. Because if somebody is making a blatant decision to say, "I know what God says, but this is what I'm going to do anyway," then you'll want to approach that a little bit differently. It all really depends on where that person is. So I agree, because you also don't want to be led into sin.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I also wanted to mention is that if someone that you are walking with comes to you and confesses any kind of a sin, we have to remember that that does not give us clearance to do what we've been trying to not do either. I know I definitely, just in walking in purity, struggled with, I would have a friend who'd be like, "Girl, I had sex," and I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, you seem to be living and breathing, and you've even cracked half a smile. Could I be okay if I did it too?
Right.
Would I be all right?" And I would really have to pray about the fact that I would experience a little sin envy, and I'd be like, "Well, you seem to be all right. Like, maybe I could do it too." And I just wanted to speak on that because I think it's important to remember that it does not give you clearance to sin as well. And if you feel that way, it is okay. Take it to God and take it to your accountability and someone who is successful in that area and say, this is how I've been feeling, but I know that this is not right. Can you pray with me and help me to navigate through this so that I don't fall just because of somebody else?
That is so true. That sin envy thing is a real situation of where you start to look at your life. And a lot of times when we're looking through the eyes of envy, we don't even realize how good we have it. We just see the thing that we can't do. Like, we don't see the grace, the peace, the joy that we have. We just see, hey, they got to fulfill a physical desire that I sometimes get. And so I want to do that too, rather than thinking about all of the pain that's on the other side of that sin. We think about momentary pleasure, and we don't want to do that, which is another reason why you definitely have to reevaluate the relationship. But I love what one of our small group leaders says, that God doesn't throw people away, mm-hmm. and neither should we. And so even as you reevaluate, you definitely want to continue to make sure you're a light in their life some way, somehow. Now, it may be like sending them a card, flowers, you know, whenever you get with them one-on-one, you know, continuing to support them, not support their sin, but support them as a person, try to get them back with Christ in just how your conversation goes. Because the person who does the judging, the person who does the changing, the one who can actually help them with that sin is Christ. You are just the person who continues to reintroduce them to Christ. So if you're trying to take the role of God by being the enforcer, and you're taking away the way that he does it, and he does it better than we can ever do.
Yes. I think it's also important to ask them what they need. A lot of times when we make certain decisions to do certain things, it's usually because there's some other need that needs to be met. And somehow we ended up landing in a place of trying to meet it some other way. It could be a financial need if a couple decides to live together before marriage. It could be an emotional need if somebody decides to have sex. We never know. I'm not saying that it's specifically those things, but if it's outside of the context of God's design, sometimes it's tied to a deeper need. And I think it's important to ask as a friend, okay, I understand that this is what took place, but, you know, like, walk me through it. And as you're listening to them, assess or ask what it is that they may need, and be a friend to them in that way.
Definitely. I feel like you don't want to leave them high and dry, because a lot of times people do not know how to be community. Someone who has, I don't know, the Christian word is fallen, but who is no longer following the same path. So they don't know how to be a friend. And that's why we want to make sure we stand in the gap, that we don't leave them alone in their sin. You don't want to leave them in the dark. Just because it's not something that God calls you to do. You don't want to make it so that they feel that God has forsaken them because all of the people that they used to be around or associate with have left them.
Exactly. I know how tough it can be if I have a day where I was just letting off a lot of anger. And I understand how that could make me feel distant. Sometimes it does make me feel distant, and I'll get through a whole day of feeling like I was angry towards people and then be like, oh my gosh, God, I feel so distant from you because I've spent all this time reacting in my flesh. And I say that to say, sometimes when a friend does something, whatever it is, that is outside of God's will, when they, as Saritha says, the Christian term, may fall, air quotations, I think it's important to remember that we do need to love on them, because they could be feeling distant from Christ. And just like Saritha says, it's for us to stand in the gap and kind of be that bridge to lead them back to Christ. Mm-hmm. But we are also not to take on their issues. I think that sometimes it can make us feel like, oh, we're the friend that they confided in. Let me fix it. Let me do something to repair the situation. We have to also remember that, just as Saritha says, Christ is not just the enforcer, but also the healer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's not our responsibility to say, let me mend this person. Let me just pray her on back into health. and let me, you know, it's not our responsibility to do that. It is our responsibility to pray, yes, but it's also our responsibility to leave God to do the work that only He can do, and that means not taking on their issues personally and feeling like it's our responsibility to pull that person back into the light or to supplement whatever need it is that person may have that caused them to do whatever it is that they did. And I think that's about it. Yeah. We really just wanted to have a quick little chat about it. And because, again, it's one of those things that we wanted to start the conversation about. And we would definitely like to continue that conversation. So if you have anything that you want to add, you can definitely hit us up in the DMs, or you can email us at wiyh@premiershow.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram with whatever thoughts you may have once this snippet airs.
All right, y'all. Enjoy. Have a good time.
Have a good time, life.
When they say it in the front, but born to throw parades with streamers and outlet. I'm feeling good.